B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome in. Farzetta and Trey in the morning. Mark Farzetta, Trey Thomas, Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, Sam Wilson on the updates for you last night. You deserve better. I that's the most obvious thing I could possibly say today. After watching that Phillies game last night, every out of that Phillies game last night, Philadelphia, you deserve so much better than the dreck and the insult that was that game last night. And I don't want to do the type of radio show that's, you know, stick the chest out and yell and scream, but, you know, some days, damn it, it needs to be said. And today is without a doubt one of those days, because your baseball team last night wouldn't even acknowledge the embarrassment that was that game last night. You deserve better than that, especially after being told all in, stupid money, and all that BS. That was nothing short of embarrassment last night. Nothing short of embarrassing. A 16-2 loss. And it wasn't even just the 16-2 runs right there, the differential. No, it was the fact that you were out-hustled, outplayed every step of the way. And it's okay to admit it. Because unlike the team leader, the skipper, the manager, Gabe Kapler, last night, I'll admit, this is a Phillies fan. I'm embarrassed for the team. When you get blown out the way you did, when you get out-hustled the way you did, especially Michael Franco not being able to bust it down the line, groin pull or not, he stayed in the game. You mean to tell me he can't bust it down the line when Turner can't throw the ball to first base? You get blown out like that. You can't remember how many outs there are in an inning. You get out-coached, out-managed by Dave Roberts when he absolutely pants Gabe Kapler and his defensive alignment in that fourth inning. Austin Barnes catches everybody off center, catches everybody off guard. Cesar Hernandez, Reese Hoskins, a double steal you try to pull off. And you pull it off to perfection against this Phillies defense. Best catcher in baseball. Hell of a shortstop in Gene Segura. All these plays last night were the most frustrating, embarrassing thing you could have watched as a Phillies fan. And you hope that this is rock bottom. After all in, after stupid money, you hope this is the rock bottom that we were all waiting for. You hope this might be even a turning point, right? But that would allude to some type of optimism. So when they're chanting, "Thank you, Philly," when Dodger fans are chanting, "Thank you, Philly," over and over again, thank you for what? Thank you for sucking? Thank you, Philly, for kicking our ass in the playoffs like 10, 11 years ago while we've maintained, at least being competitive over that decade of time while you floundered into almost insignificance and irrelevance.
I heard Michael Barkan say last night, I believe, the Dodgers have a 38-4 advantage over the Phillies in their series this year.
That's comforting. I feel great
so
now.
So maybe they're just thanking us for that.
No, that's adorable.
It's the easy wins for them. They don't have to worry about
well,
it.
Well, you know what? You're welcome. All right? You're so, damn welcome.
Yeah.
Gabe Kapler is nothing but a pushover. You want to tell me time and time again you're going to have conversations with players and today's a day for question asking?
Yeah.
No. Today's a day to make statements. All right? Send a message to this team. If you're really still in control, do something that is actually going to hold these players accountable. And don't just slap them on the ass and say, "Hey, you know what? We tried today. 16-2. Some days just going to get beat." When I see Cody Bellinger bust it down the first baseline in the ninth inning when they're up 14 runs because he thinks another run could count. And can you get him at Michael Franco in a tie game in the fourth inning? Bust it down the line. Third inning. You can't even bust it down the line in that situation.
Changed the entire game right there. It really did.
He's going to have conversations with players today. Gabe Kapler is nothing but a pushover. I've said it before. I was out when Bryce Harper was laughing at him for the curveball machine. I'm out. And I'm still out. Beyond out. I don't know how he manages his team another game. And is it all his fault? No. But when you talk about accountability and players aren't being held accountable after stupid money, all in, we were led to believe that buzz was going to be back in the building because the front office ownership was going to try to put a team on the field that was worthy of the playoffs. And right now, they look like a team that is going to miss the playoffs by about 15 games. At this pace, that's what it feels like. And to hear opposing fans take over a stadium the way they did, and there wasn't even, like, a lot of Dodger fans. It was just that by the end of it, it was all Dodger fans. Right? And you hear them chanting, thank you. Thank you for sucking last night. That was abysmal. It was embarrassing. And Bryce Harper didn't want to admit it after the game. Zach Eflin's telling you everybody's calm. And Gabe Kapler wouldn't even acknowledge the obvious that this team put up an embarrassing performance last night.
Zach Eflin said he took some positives from last night.
Yeah. Gabe said the sun's going to rise today. That's what he was looking forward to. The sun was going to rise today, Mark. So that's what they're looking for.
It's a joke. It's an utter joke.
I was really looking forward to how much fun this season was going to be. And I know I've referenced this before, but I really can't say it enough. The offseason of the Phillies has been 1,000 times more exciting than the regular season. Nothing we have talked about has come to fruition. Nothing. Bryce Harper is going to be have another disappointing season. Reese Hoskins, cute on base percentage for a cleanup hitter.
Yeah.
Like, there was nothing about last night's game that should lead anybody to believe that this team has any shot at making the playoffs. So let's sell. Sell, sell, sell. Give Logan Morrison a couple of bats. Hopefully he hits a couple home runs. Maybe you can flip him for, like, I don't know, a low A prospect. Jay Bruce, see ya. All right, hopefully you can help another playoff team. Yeah. Cesar Hernandez, deuces, open up that spot for Scott Kingery.
I will never want to see Michael Franco's stupid dreadlocks ever again.
Look, I've been defending that guy.
I
you can't, though, right now. And I hear you, and I'm right there with you. I see eyes rolling before it even comes out of my mouth, and I roll my eyes as I say it. But you can't just give up right now when you still are tied for a wild card.
Who's saying it's giving up? Alec Bohm and Adonis Medina might be better than what you have. As a matter of fact, if Adonis Medina isn't better than what you have, then the problems are even more drastic.
Now, I will say this. I'm not calling up Medina tomorrow or today.
I would.
I'm not calling up Bohm.
Not versus the Dodgers.
That's September for me.
Yeah.
Like, pack it in now. You know what?
I'm there.
Tank it. Just tank the rest of the season.
I'm there.
Get the better draft pick.
Well, what the hell are you going to do with a good draft pick? They can't do anything with draft picks anyway.
That's a good point.
Right?
You know what? Actually, just fold the franchise. We're done. We're done. Bring back the A's.
Homegrown starting outfielder to start an All-Star game was 1976, Greg Luzinski. Give me a break.
You know, a lot of people, Trey, have you heard this before? The Phillies can't handle their prospects. Have you heard this? And the Braves are really good at doing that. So you know what the Phillies did a couple of years ago? The Phillies went out and hired the guy from the Braves, Johnny Almaraz, right?
Uh-huh.
And it's contagious. Still terrible here. There's no helping this team. There's no helping the farm system. You either draft well or it's a bust. Nola, all right, way to go.
It's because of the fans, Mark. Because we're too hard.
Because we're too hard?
Yep.
Really? All right. Have you heard that complaint about the Phillies, Trey?
Which one?
The one...
Yeah, sorry, we're throwing a lot of scorched earth around this morning.
It's a lot of scorched earth, man. I mean, which complaint?
What?
Which one?
The complaint about the Phillies not being able to have a decent farm system.
Yeah,
The one time they've done that, they won a World Series.
Yeah, I've heard that. I complained a couple times.
I took the liberty of going over some of the numbers from that 08 team that we were all banking on the Phillies to be again, without great pitching, not having great pitching, having a great lineup, right? And I pointed out yesterday that Reese Hoskins in Major League Baseball is 91st in batting average with runners in scoring position.
Mm.
Right? That's not good for a four-hole hitter. And he's, 10th going into last night. Yeah, he's 10th going into last night in at-bats with runners in scoring position. So he's getting the opportunities, but he ain't driving them in.
Okay.
And Ryan Howard hit .320 with runners in scoring position when they went on to win the World Series with no pitching. So we're a far cry from that.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I look at the manager as a guy. And look, Gabe Kapler, Matt Klentak and Andy McPhail and John Middleton even, like, these guys aren't exempt from criticism even a little bit.
No.
I mean, you don't have a pitching staff right now. And it's not that far off than the one you started the season. Actually, it is the pitching staff you started the season off with. So they're not just excused from blame in all this. This is atrocious. They're not excused even a little bit. But Gabe Kapler is the manager of this team. And Trey, I can't go back to this word enough because I think it's the most accurate word to describe Gabe Kapler in that clubhouse. Man's a pushover.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you've ever seen a coach just kind of floundering around out there or just looking like he's a dead man walking. But the players don't respect him. The players don't respond to him. Any conversation that he has with him seems like, all right, yeah, thanks for the pat on the butt and the good hustle. I'll go out there and still do whatever the hell I want.
So is that the coach's fault or the player's fault?
Oh, I think the coach and the manager have to demand some sort of respect, don't they?
Yeah, I think so. But then it's up to the players to give that respect and respond to it. I mean, you know, I know everybody's like, all right, let's look at the coach. Let's look at the coach. I think you got to look at the players. If they're not responding, then you need to make an adjustment to them. I mean, you know, I think Gage should. And then what are you going to do? Mm-hmm. Like, what if the players don't want to play for you, what, you going to bench them? Is that going to make it better? Now you're playing into the hands because they don't want to play anyway. So then do you cut them then? Do you trade them? They don't have any trade value right now because of the way they're playing.
Yeah.
So what do you do?
What's the easiest thing to do right now?
Trade
the team.
Yeah, you can't trade the team. You know what? It should have been something that you should have started earlier. If there was some type of fine system, something to kind of, you know, because that's how you get to a player. You hit them in the pockets.
Mm-hmm.
All of this other benching and all of that doesn't work with anybody. You know what I'm saying? If you want to really get at a cat, you have to implement some type of fine system. But you can't find a guy for not hustling.
Thank you, Cavill. Should have done that months ago.
You know, but you can't. Yeah. You can bench him. You can do whatever you want to do. But there's something that's going to happen. But I know the easy out is to say, all right, you know what? They're not respecting Gabe. All right, well, you know what? At some point, I'm pretty sure he's having a conversation with these players. But if the players aren't responding, then you got to look at the player.
Yeah, you were lucky. Like you played in college for an established, just an icon in college, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then you come here, and Andy had a great run the times you were here. His downfall, so to say, came after you left, far after you left. So I was looking at stuff last night, and I was thinking, man, you were lucky enough that you really didn't go through that turmoil as a player of, wow, has this coach lost the team or whatever it may be.
Yeah.
I did when I was covering the Sixers a couple of times. I saw a coach just lose a team, and it is the worst feeling in the world because guys don't want to be there.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes a daily grind. It just isn't fun, and you feel it. It's palpable. I hate to say this from afar because I'm not inside the Phillies locker room, and I couldn't stand when people said it from afar when I was in the Sixers locker room. But I wonder if it's that now with Gabe. I wonder if the players are just struggling to play under him now.
In all honesty, like trying to get away from any hot takes, just like look at the evidence. This team does not listen to him. You want to talk about hustle? You want to talk about conversations and all that? It's just the same thing over and over again. Against a team like the Dodgers, you're taking outs for granted with the bases loaded, like Michael Franco was last night. You're forgetting how many outs there were last night. You have a defensive alignment last night that they take complete advantage of was that Barnes bunt, and they also catch you in the double steal. You got pantsed last night.
Yeah.
You didn't deserve to be on the same field as the LA Dodgers.
Not only did you get pantsed last night, you got pantsed last night by a team that played a six-hour game the night before.
Mm-hmm.
And
they showed up at 4 a.m.
And showed up at 4 a.m. and got out-hustled.
And by the way, they're one of the best defensive teams in all of baseball, and they gave you like three errors early on to start. They were trying to give you that game.
One of them would have. It would have been four if Michael was hustling down the line.
But when I first saw Kershaw pitch, I was like, oh, no. They're going to have a problem with him. Because, I mean, you know, everything else aside, I tell you what, I enjoyed watching Kershaw's mechanics as a pitcher. As someone that's continuing to learn,
right,
game,
right,
to watch that man pitch last night, I was like, wow. Now that's what you talk, because he had kind of like a different cadence, where it was a fast, here you go, here's a fast windup, here's that the low late lineup. I mean, you could tell right out the gate that it was going to be a problem hitting him.
He's a veteran left-hander who knows how to pitch.
Oh man,
and he has great stuff. A veteran left-hander who knows how to pitch. Could you have had one of them here a couple of weeks ago?
We certainly hope so. You're talking about
Dallas Keuchel.
Oh, you're talking about Dallas Keuchel.
My God, yeah.
I thought you were talking about the offseason,
yeah,
sorry.
Like Keuchel could have came in and given you, you know, last night might have been a night that he goes. Okay, he battles with Kershaw for six or seven innings. But no, instead you're throwing out Zach Eflin. And for you to think, and I'll give you these numbers later on, Bob Ford had some great numbers today in his column about from the second half of last season, Philly starters, what the hell were they really expecting out of these guys?
It's
besides Aaron Nola.
It's pretty simple. Would you rather have Dallas Keuchel going instead of Vince Velasquez tonight?
Yes.
Yes.
Versus Walker Buehler.
Yes.
A kid that's got Cy Young potential.
And he's, well, yes.
Okay. Yes. Yeah.
And by the way,
because that's all it is. That's all it boils down to.
And Clayton Kershaw, by the way, you had him on the ropes in the first inning with the bases loaded. You had him on the ropes again in the third inning with the bases loaded, and he couldn't capitalize on it. Hey, sometimes you aren't going to hit with runners in scoring position. And what was it, 0 for 9 last night? You had an opportunity to actually not only just put him on the ropes, but knock him out of the game and get into that bullpen as fast as possible.
And we've all watched baseball for a long time. You know what kills a team? A two-out rally.
And they had the opportunity to do that in the third, but Mike Calfranco... The groin hurt a little bit, and it was painful for him.
Well, then lose 35 pounds.
Oh, my God.
Chunk ass.
I heard you fat shame. Don't you fat shame.
Hey, as a fellow chunky man, I'm allowed to point out when you're too chunky, and Mike Calfranco is too damn chunky.
Before we get to our Twitter poll, I do want to say this. Today is Will Ferrell's 52nd birthday. If you had to sum up this Phillies season in a Will Ferrell movie quote... Now, it doesn't necessarily have to be Will Ferrell, just a Will Ferrell movie.
You are a smelly pirate hooker.
That's pretty good.
Well, that escalated quickly.
Perfect. Yeah. Yeah, Will Ferrell's birthday, 52 years old, man. You know, 52? He's always like 40.
Are you
going to
give him a God bless him?
One more year.
Oh, come on, Mark. My God.
He's younger than I thought he was.
Really? Well, everyone to you is like 70.
Yeah, right.
Like, oh, he's a spring chicken. He's only 68. No?
I would have said like 57, 58, so not much older, but...
Sam.
He's got wrinkles, man.
Wow. It's very nice. Go ahead, Sam, what is our Twitter poll today brought to you by Window Nation?
Today we ask, should the Phillies be embarrassed after last night's game? We have just under 400 votes. 96% say yes.
But wait, the Phillies weren't embarrassed last night. They weren't embarrassed. Gabe Kapler asked point blank, you embarrassed? He's like, nah. I think that's what he said. I think that's a direct quote. We'll play it for you later. Bryce Harper, you embarrassed? No, it's baseball, basically, is what he said. Zach Eflin, hey, anybody panicking? Anybody upset? Anybody frustrated? Oh, no, we're all calm. Okay, good for you, bro. We'll let you hear all that coming up in a little bit. At 9 o'clock today, there was some good news yesterday. I feel as if it was good news.
And it'll make sense soon.
Yeah, I think it's made sense. Elton Brand, the 76ers general manager, Chief Beef, will be on the airwaves with us at 9 o'clock today, so we'll talk some hoops. Trey, we're going to talk, you know what, you know the Phillies, they're going to piss us off, and they did piss us off, they pissed me off last night, I don't know if you could tell. Yeah. But last night, we were texting a little bit here, and you're like, hey, football's fun. Yeah. And I'm like, you're right, football is fun.
Let's talk football.
I was like, you know what we need today?
The Sixers and Eagles are title contenders. The Phillies are not.
Jamie makes a fine point. We're going to talk about the big sexies today, because we need a little big sexy going on tonight.
Ooh.
You know what we need? We need a little O-line talk.
O-line.
Okay. Your boy Brandon Brooks was out at Elvez last night.
Saw that.
What was that? That
he
was
got
dancing?
To experience a Philly tradition that's, I'm pretty sure, not too many other places.
I didn't know what was happening.
Yeah, that's a thing where they fundraise. Well, I guess we'll get into it coming up.
All right. We'll get into that. We'll get into all that and more coming up in a few. I do have to tell you, the Twitter poll was brought to you by, as per usual, Window Nation. Take advantage of Window Nation's 50% off sale on any style window. Plus, make no down payment with no payments and no interest for 12 full months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com. And 6 o'clock hours brought to you by Panther East and Black Cat Fasteners. Attention contractors, get job site delivery on all your tools, supplies, equipment, and fall protection gear. Shop online at PantherEast.com. Coming up, we'll let you hear from the clubhouse to let that frustration just boil a little bit. And for FanFest tickets, if we like your Will Ferrell movie quote in honor of his 52nd birthday, we'll throw you some FanFest tickets right there. Best way to describe this Phillies season, according to a Will Ferrell movie quote. Time of the Fanatic, 6:14.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5, The Fanatic.
Dodgers fans are thanking. Oh, he's been quite a host, his Phillies.
Those were the Dodger fans last night, as heard right there with Tom McCarthy and John Kruk on the broadcast on NBC Sports Philadelphia, thanking Philly for being terrible at the game of baseball, Trey.
Yeah. Yes, they did.
That I remember being at a Sixers game in the midst of the process, and I got it, and I was on board with Hinkie. I was like, I'll give him 3 years. Give him 3 years trying to build this thing, right? But no matter what, no matter what the situation, no matter what the circumstance, anytime opposing team fans are in my building and they sound so joyous and feel so secure and safe to just yell out like the Celtics fans did at this game I was at a few years back in the midst of the process. Oh, it was like we were in Boston all of a sudden. Hearing those Dodgers fans last night, that's like the biggest middle finger to a hometown fan base that there can be, is having your stadium taken over by an opposing team's fans. Mm-hmm. And that's what just put me over the edge last night.
There used to be a time that didn't happen.
Yeah, there used to be. Wasn't that long ago, and this was supposed to be a season where that never happened.
Mm-hmm.
This was supposed to be a season with the Phillies that, with them spending the money that they spent in the offseason on Bryce Harper, the trades that they made, bringing in Gene Segura, bringing in JT Realmuto, bringing in, I know Andrew McCutcheon's injured, but making all this happen, signing Andrew McCutcheon. This was supposed to be a season where the buzz was back in the building, babe.
Mm-hmm.
No buzz.
Yeah,
Dodger fans are in the building.
When they were saying thank you, Philly, was that because we were just struggling as a team, or was
38-4? Doesn't get much easier than that.
Or us taking Bryce Harper.
No, I don't think it had anything to do with Bryce Harper. No, I think it had to do with the fact that we were a pushover of a baseball team last night.
They have a guy that's double the player Bryce Harper is, and they drafted him.
Yeah. Good for them.
Yeah.
Hey, what's that like? I want to know.
Must be cool.
Yeah, must
be like pretty Phillies awesome. Fans going up to the Mets, going up to New York and chanting the same thing to the Mets. Thank you, Mets. Because that's pretty much the only team they can beat.
That was great. That was great. And by the way, for our FanFest tickets today, the Will Ferrell quote in honor of his 52nd birthday, John Brightcliff, always a great tweeter of the show and listener. He tweets us the gif of Will Ferrell from Step Brothers. Basically, after this Phillies game last night, he's got a belly full of white dog crap in him.
I saw that.
You lay this on me. That's pretty much, I think, how we all feel. But here's the thing. Is it okay, Trey, as a player or a coach, to admit when there's an embarrassment?
Yeah.
Like last night.
Yeah.
It's okay.
It should be.
I agree with you.
Yeah, when you've been embarrassed, you should be able to talk about it. Because, I mean, last night was embarrassing. And to say anything less is, you know, come on. You know, that's embarrassing.
Right. You had another position player pitch for you last night. This time it was Roman Quinn. And I don't know if I was alone here. Jamie, I know we've talked about this. Bob, I know we've talked about this. But with Roman Quinn, anytime he does anything, I'm just like, oh my God, don't get injured. Like
Tommy John surgery. That's going to be announced today.
First thing I thought of. And I was just like, oh dear God, don't tweet it. Don't tweet it, because then you're the guy rooting for it to happen. And fortunately, we'll see what happens today. But no, I've seen him take the mound last night. Okay, good for you. You're one of the better pitchers last night. Unfortunately, his ERA got blown up. He allowed one run, I believe. But it was bad. It was embarrassing. And I think that's the absolute least that the Phillies could even say. But after last night's game, Gabe Kapler goes to the podium, as per usual, goes to his table in the press conference, wants to keep it short and sweet, and gets asked by one of the reporters out there if this was an embarrassing loss.
Embarrassing. Certainly not encouraging.
You can't admit that it's just embarrassing? How about Bryce Harper? Let's try Bryce Harper, the $330 million man. Was he embarrassed by last night?
No, I mean, it's one game.
All right, it's just one game, not embarrassed. How about a little bit of, I don't know, anger? How about a little bit of rage? Not necessarily panic, but at least being aware of the situation. They asked Zach Eflin after last night's loss.
I'm feeling.
We're all calm. There's no need to panic. We know how good we're going to be, and, you know, it's just going to, you know, it's going to take that one time, that one game, that everything clicks, and, you know, and then it's going to be a fun rest of the year.
What? How good we're going to be?
Yeah.
They're going to turn it around.
Do they know it's almost August?
No. Well, they don't even know how many outs there are in an inning. So what do they might
fair
not even
point.
Know, they might not even know the months of the year, Jamie.
Reese Hoskins doesn't even know not to charge when a ball's hit to the third base side of the infield. They're just dumb. Top to bottom, they're just dumb.
But now, here's the other thing. Gabe Kapler also said last night that this team practices the play with the squeeze, the bunt by Barnes last night. They practiced that play all
the time. I don't believe you.
When do they practice? When does that practice happen?
When's that taking place?
Well, I don't know. When you're taking infield, I don't see that happening. You know, I don't see it happening when they're taking batting practice that you're doing that.
We talk about it.
It's common sense, like Jamie said. You learn that when you're playing, like, you know, Little League baseball, that if you are charging, second baseman covers first, whatever it may be, or first baseman doesn't charge if the ball's on the left side of the field and he stays there. Whatever it was, they did it totally wrong last night. And, you know, I understand when these guys come out and say after a 16-2 loss, look, it happens during a 162-game season. It happens, and sometimes you have to blow it off. But when it happens, it might be because of pitching. It might be because of poor fielding. It might be because of something else. But it was because of all of that last night. You had bad pitching. You had bad fielding. You had laziness on the base pass. You had non-concentration out in the field where you're standing there after three outs. Everything was there last night for the taking. And then on top of it, you have the Dodgers fans in there taking over the stadium. Rock bottom, at least for the Gabe Kapler era, no question about it. Rock bottom for maybe the last 10 years, that's debatable, and it might very well have been.
I think so, and especially when you look at how last night worked out. Now, that fourth inning where Eflin started to get hit around a little
bit.
Was
that the longest inning ever?
Yes, it was.
It was like 35 minutes, 40 minutes,
man.
It felt like.
Of just embarrassment after embarrassment after embarrassment.
And Gabe got asked about that after the game in terms of...
But nothing really stood out.
Nothing really stood out. Like I rattled off like 10 different things in the beginning of the show.
Yeah, about how about Reese's fundamental fielding error?
So that's one thing. How about getting out hustled? But anyway, so I digress. But looking at
how about
team,
Franco to being too fat to get down for the ground ball?
Not just getting out hustled by a team that played a 6-hour game the night before,
yeah,
and showed up at 4:30 in the morning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they arrived in Philadelphia, I believe, at 4:30 in the morning.
Yeah, yeah,
and you get beat like that.
Yeah, you gotta.
And by the way, they're still out hustling you in the ninth inning when they're up 13-14 runs already.
Yeah, just pouring it on.
So last night, one of the things that Gabe Kapler got into after the game, one of the things he did get into, was that fourth inning. And I think it was Matt Gelb from The Athletic saying that Eflin started to get hit hard in that fourth. Now, there were some dribblers, right? There was that bunt by mm-hmm. Barnes, right, that I've referenced 1,000 times, it feels like, already. But there were also balls that were hit on the screws. What's his name? Verdugo? He had a line drive to left field. You had another hit later in the inning. Kike Hernandez blasted one that turned out foul, but then later got an RBI single to left center that was legit, hit the ball on the screws there. Trey Turner had the RBI double. And yeah, there were some dink and dunks, but also the play that went was a comebacker at the mound to Zach Eflin. That ball was hit on the screws as well. Yeah. He couldn't catch it.
Do you know where Verdugo came from?
The farm system?
Yeah!
Thank you. Hey, Michael Franco came from our farm system.
Yeah.
So did Cesar Hernandez.
So did
Scott
his
Kingler.
Diet. Jeez.
I feel like as a fellow, whatever you call yourself.
Chunky guy.
Yeah. I think you need to establish, like, you need a disclaimer at the end of anytime you call, you need to just like hit something. It's like, I'm also a chunky guy myself. Like, something like that.
I like pizza too, Michael.
Now, Bob just referenced this a second ago. The out-hustling, being outplayed, and just getting your tail kicked. Like, that's going to happen. Like, getting your tail kicked is going to happen.
Getting your tail kicked is
going to
happen.
You're
yes.
going to lose. Great teams will lose games 16-2. You know, you just get the wrong night, right. The bad night, whatever it might be. John Kruk kind of leaned into this team a little bit after the game. Now, Ricky Pitalico was his normal Ricky Pitalico self.
Oh,
he was
man,
great.
I can't wait to hear
he turned into the Hulk.
he was funny at one point last night during post game. Michael Barkin was asking him on NBC Sports Philly. It was like, well, you got to expect Michael Franco to come up with that little dribble down the third baseline, barehanded play. And Ricky's like, well, I'm not going to be total angry boy today. Like, that's a tough play to make. And Michael's like, well, I expected him to come up with it. And he was like, all right.
It was a tough play.
It was a very tough play.
But he makes those fairly regularly.
He has made those plays often. Let's put it that way. So also on postgame, John Kruk gets asked about this team's embarrassing loss.
You're going to get your butt kicked at times during the season. That's just the way it is over 162 games. But you should never, ever get out hustled in a game like that. And they did. Because, look, it's easy to shut it down when you're winning 14-2. It's easy to shut it down. The Dodgers didn't do that. They added on but they did it the right way. It wasn't like they were, you know, going first to third, you know, on base hits to the outfield. They played the game the right way. They executed the game the right way. They competed for 9 innings in this game. This is a result-oriented game, the results. And the results today were awful for the Philadelphia Phillies.
This team is getting they're getting spanked in the game, in the media, just repeatedly. And I have to ask this question. If you're John Middleton, if you're the Buck Cousins, right? And you put up this money to have this stupid money offseason, right? And this is the product that's on the field right now.
Does it look like stupid money to you?
It looks like bad money spent is what it looks like right now. But that's what this offseason has amounted to. Gabe Kapler, Matt Klentak, Andy McPhail, are you holding any? If you're an owner of this team, right? If you're the managing partner of this team, like John Middleton,
right?
And you've invested a lot of money into this squad, how do you sit back and watch opposing fans thank you for either being terrible or, Trey, like you said, possibly for Bryce Harper?
Oh, yeah.
How the hell do you just sit back and say, oh, yeah, we're good? It's, again, that famous gif with the dog sitting in the room on fire saying, that's fine.
Yeah.
Like, how do you just sit back and say, oh, yeah, we're good with all this? This is totally okay. We're going to come out of this. Are they actually believing what Zach Eflin's saying, that there's better baseball in front of the Phillies?
Probably. And you know what your evidence is?
What's that?
After last season. Because what they did was they went after offense. No question. They spent the money like you just laid out there, Mark. But think of this. We as a fan base can say, before this season started, all you need is Arrieta to come back a little bit. Maybe Eflin steps up. Maybe this happens. Maybe that. Well, here's your evidence from last year, and Bob Ford pointed this out today. Jake Arrieta's last nine starts last year, 1-5, 6.35 ERA. Nick Pivetta had one win in his last 13 starts last year. Vinny Velasquez had a 5.68 ERA after the All-Star break. Zach Eflin, hitters were hitting 2.33 off of him before the All-Star break, 2.90 afterwards. How the hell do you go into a season saying that's good enough?
That's a lot of hope.
It's our job as fan base to have that hope, Mark.
Right.
Not if you're in this game and you're a front office man to go into a season saying that's going to be good enough.
It's a lot of maybe. It's a lot of if. It's a lot of just flat out hope. Blind faith. That's what it is.
Fool's gold.
So at this point, you have Bryce Harper, who I don't regret that signing. I would have done that 1,000 times over again. Are we all on the same page there still?
Yeah.
Are we all still there? Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
We still make that happen, right? So at this point, you still have him for 13 years. You only hope that You hope that Rhys Hoskins turns himself into a formidable four-hole hitter. Maybe it is time to flip them in the order.
I flip them tomorrow.
Okay.
Because for whatever reason, tonight. For whatever reason, Bryce can hit with people on base. He can't hit with people off base. And Rhys Hoskins is good at getting on base, but not great at knocking in the runs right now.
He is great at getting on base.
So it just makes sense to flip him right now.
255 batting average with runners in scoring position. That's your four-hole hitter right now.
Yeah.
That's your cleanup hitter. So at this point, I am all about packing it in. I'm all about exploring the trade deadline, seeing what you have to sell in order to see what you can bring back. Because if your farm system is feeling a little depleted right now outside of Alec Bohm and Adonis Medina, and maybe Mickey Moniak, if he could continue his uptick since this year's really started, the last 2 months, well, then maybe you could actually replenish that farm system just a little bit.
Yeah, and Mickey Moniak better produce, because the guy taken right after him, Nick Senzel for the Cincinnati Reds, is one of the more promising prospects in baseball. So you better work out, Mickey.
All right, so Hernandez, Franco, Jay Bruce, and whatever Logan Morrison can show you in the next 2 weeks.
He hit a whopping 189 last year. He's Philly's material.
Let's all get excited as they pick them up the scrap heap pretty much just a couple of days ago. So those are your trading. If you want to try to get back anybody, the pieces that you feel like you could depart from, those are the ones right there. That's not really going to bring back much of a return on an investment, to say the absolute least. 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. But if you're one of the owners of this team, who are you holding accountable? I mean, you're investing so much money into this squad. Your offseason was supposedly great, right? And this isn't what you paid for.
Mm-hmm.
Not even close. You paid for CBP to be a party again every game. You paid for this team. Now, look, were they going to automatically win the division? No. Were they going to compete for the division and probably make a wild card? That was my expectation before the season started. And now they don't look like a team that's anything close. I know in the standings right now, because you had a great month of the season, you're still in it, just if you look at the standings, if you take a glance. But if you've been watching this team, following this team, look how listless they can be. This team isn't making the playoffs, and you know that. So it's up to the Phillies to really start examining that trade deadline.
When you have to do everything through free agency, there's a problem. And that's the bigger problem with this team is they just don't have guys that can come up and produce.
Now, I have lost all faith when Harper was laughing at the curveball machine and all that. But watching them last night, this has to be rock bottom for this team.
Yeah.
This has to be the rock bottom moment.
No question.
I don't know how any other way to say it, but Gabe Kapler just seems like a guy who just does a lot of talking and no one really pays him any mind. And pushover keeps on coming to mind when it comes to him.
Well, that's scary. I mean, that's scary. That's the epitome of losing a team, and that those are the, you know, the death words of a coach if that's attached to him. And I hate to do that. I hate to attach it. I'm not saying it's there, but that's, you know, last night, when you see everything that happened, it all came together at once. You wonder if these guys want to be out there for him.
Yeah, absolutely. But then if the players are quitting on him, who's to say they wouldn't quit on somebody else?
Yeah, good point.
They have something. Sure. That's something that they just have in them. So do you just have to reconstruct your entire roster? You have to look back and say, all right, you know what? You're a quitter. You're a quitter. You're a quitter. You got to go.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because it doesn't matter who you bring in as a manager.
Yeah, once a quitter, always a quitter. It's weird. It's weird times.
For real, though. Once a quitter, always a quitter. Yeah, if they're going to quit on Gabe, they'll quit on whoever else you bring in. Well, it doesn't matter.
It's just weird because there are examples in sports of managers being fired early in the season and another manager coming up whose resume might not be that impressive. But for whatever reason, it shakes things up.
Well, because the players know that their ass is next.
I hope that's the case.
Because they know, all right, I'm next. So, you know what? They got rid of the coach. I might want to tighten up.
And then you get that label on you. You're in trouble.
Yeah.
Those big paydays aren't coming anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I need right now? Well, maybe in a couple minutes here. I need some big sexy. Yeah. That's what I need. I need to talk some offensive line with you, my friend.
All right.
Because it's just only inching closer. And I need to delve into it. I need to jump into it, basically. I need you to break that down for me. We talked about the running backs yesterday. I want to get into that offensive line with you today, Trey, because I need a little football conversation after an awful night like last night. 9 o'clock, we're going to have Elton Brand on with us, so don't miss that. Time of the Fanatic is 6:41.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5, The Fanatic.
I can't help but look at Florida. Any news with Florida, Trey? And not think of you. Is that weird?
Well, I'm Floridian.
So good it's not weird.
Yeah, I'm a Florida guy, man. That's
but
where
you're
I was
not the
born.
Florida man.
Yeah, I'm not the Florida man. That's where I was born.
Yeah.
You know, every time I look at some of these stories, I'm like, Lord, please don't let it be in my family. Please. Because I do have some wild family members down there.
So I follow this account, Uber Facts.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
It has nothing to do with driving, just for the record, right? And it says, in February of 1948, a guy wore 30-pound shoes, 3-toed shoes, and stomped around a Florida beach at night. The footprints made people believe that a 15-foot-tall penguin was walking around. He kept the prank up for a decade. Come get your boy, Trey. For 10 years, from 1948 to 1958, a man walked around with essentially 30-pound penguin shoes on a beach in Florida.
I mean, what else you going to do in Florida on the beach at night? I mean, you know, and the man was just there chilling. I mean, what did you know?
Swim?
Swim?
Yeah,
build
swim.
A fire?
Build
anything
a fire?
But put on 30-pound shoes and just try to make people think there's a 15-foot penguin?
It was his own little inside joke. He probably, hey, did you guys see that penguin? I think I saw it. You know what I mean?
It's too damn hot
he's
for a penguin
his own
just
little
to be.
Fun.
So he went to bed every night giggling about what he just did.
Let him have his little fun. You know, he's giggling about it. He goes to the bar. Everybody's talking about, oh, I heard the penguin out again. You know, man, have a good time.
Come get your boy, brother.
I mean,
come
that's all right. In Florida, I'm never.
What year was this, Mark?
1948 shocked. To 1958. I didn't know people had senses of humor back then. Is that the right way to say that?
What the hell's wrong with you?
Florida has a lot of wild stuff going on.
It was right after the war.
You think people just walked around in bad moods all the time?
Well, aside, no,
just because all the pictures you see from like the 20s and 30s, nobody ever smiles.
No, no one ever smiles.
No.
No, but the 1948, that's when the baby boomers started, right? 1947, 1948, people came back from the war and started knocking boots and evidently making penguin footprints.
Yeah, I guess.
So there's that. And you know what's funny? This penguin fella, not at all embarrassed. He's actually proud. Phillies, also not embarrassed. So they have that in common.
So there you go.
Trey, we talked about that the running backs yesterday for the Philadelphia Eagles. Uh-huh. We're about a week and a half away, not even 2 weeks from training camp officially getting underway.
Yes.
We're all excited about that. Madden ratings are out.
Everybody except for the players.
The Eagles are the number one ranked Madden team.
Oh, that's awesome.
There you go.
Yeah, that's awesome. Everybody's looking at what's my rating?
Yeah, they are.
That doesn't affect how you're going to have to handle yourself out there on the field.
Rick Lovato was a little upset. His Madden rating actually went down from a 43 to a 41.
See, how did that happen?
That's just not right.
Did he have some kind of abysmal season? I like Rick Lovato a lot. First of all, Rick Lovato is probably the single greatest Game of Thrones critic I've ever talked to.
Really?
That guy can break it down. All right? Break it down. Like Aaron Rodgers had a really good assessment of everything.
Yeah.
Rick Lovato blew him out of the water.
Probably makes a great hoagie, too.
Yes, he does.
His family has a hoagie shop where he was working before he became an Eagle.
Yeah, and he's also a really good singer, like his sister, Demi Lovato. Did you know that?
She's a nice-looking lady.
She's pretty. She's easy on the eyes.
Yeah.
So if that running back core, though, Trey, is going to be good, like we talked about yesterday, very versatile, right? Very, very talented, very deep.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to have some guys in front of them that are blocking for them.
That's right.
And how's that offensive line looking to you right now?
I mean, everybody, right now, what is really banking on right now is just how Jason Peters is going to come back. I think how Jason Peters comes back and how Brandon Brooks comes back. You know what Lane Johnson is going to give you being the right tackle. He's just finished his offensive line. What is that? The offensive line
masterminds.
Yeah, offensive line. Masterminds thing that they're doing down in Texas. So, you know, just working out, meeting other minds, just seeing how he's going to come back, how Brandon Brooks is going to come back off of his Achilles injury. So everything looks good, how he's been prepping. But, you know, and then also, too, Kelce is going to have to continue to do his thing. I think, you know, Kelce just needs to continue to grind. When we had,
Who, Barrett?
No.
Brandon?
Brandon. Whatever. I can't think of it then. But anyway, Kelce was working out, and he's trying to put on 10 extra pounds.
Right. Connor Barlow.
Connor Barlow. Yeah.
Right. No worries.
Like, I had his face and everything.
I got you.
Yeah,
I got
you. Connor Barlow. So we were talking about how, you know, Kelce's trying to put on the extra 10 pounds, which I think will help. But, you know, it's just going to be making sure that you make your points and make them decisive, you know, and make a decision and you go with it. A couple times last year, you just saw where I think one of the plays where Kelce hurt his elbow was where he made a call, but then he got kind of caught in between what we used to call sugar, honey, iced tea, and a fart. You know what I'm saying? So you got caught in between the two. So you couldn't really make a decision on
that. No, that makes sense. You look baffled.
Yes,
sugar, honey, iced tea, and a fart somewhere in between there.
Yeah, you got caught in between there, so you know you're not really sure where you are. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So you know he made some decision. He ended up hurting his elbow on that play. You know, but he's just gonna have to be making calls and let's go. And just seeing how Peters is gonna come back. You know, Isaac is gonna be your left guard. Who I like out there. I like Isaac as your left guard, your starting left guard. Jason Peters comes back. I think he's had a full offseason of not having to worry, rehab, any injuries, no surgeries. Mm. So I'm expecting for him to come back full strength. It depends on how he practices. You know, I think that's going to be extremely big for him if he's going to be willing to push himself in practice on some of those times. Because the thing about offensive line is that you can't, it's not something that you just turn on. You have to put yourself in those uncomfortable positions during some of those practices so that when you get to the game, you already kind of know how to handle it. Even though he's been in the game for a long time, first ballot, as soon as he retires, they may as well go ahead and give him his jacket and go ahead and get started on the bus and everything. Because,
sure.
I mean, he's already there. But, you know, just continue to just grind. I think you're going to see a lot of Andre Dill. I hope that during this time right here that he's put on some weight maybe to get a little bit heavier, start getting that NFL body ready, you know.
During the 5 weeks between minicamp and training camp.
Yeah, because he's going to need to get a little bit heavier. And I think that's one of the things. And then also, too, he just needs to get a little bit more grit about himself. You know, Big Steph, you know, I like Wisniewski. I think he's got a good guy that could, you know, you have an extra center out there on the field. The problem is at times is that he plays with a balanced stance. And then when you're playing with a balanced stance like a center, you don't create the same movement that you need to as a run blocker. And he's more of a catcher. So I think that he needs to just continue to work on that. You know, Matt Pryor is one of those guys that needs to continue to develop. You know, you're going to see Vitae probably in there at right guard right now until, you know, things pan out with Brandon Brooks. And then you just move on from there. You're hoping that Jordan Mailata continues to progress, you know, seeing where he is. It's going to be interesting to see how he plays out because now here you are. You've had a full year. You've had a full year. You've had of working it out the kinks. So let's see how it all plays out.
Trey, when an offensive lineman gets older, like a Jason Peters, and you said, you know, at the beginning that he's the key. When they get old, is there stuff you can look, besides the physical, the body breaking down or injuries, whatever it may be, what do you look for to say, like, ooh, he still has it, or ooh, he's age is catching up? I mean, is there something that will really stand out with Jason Peters that people with the average eye like me might be able to notice?
When he gets into that turn and run situation. You know, because
so he gets turned, he's got to go get.
Yeah, when you get edged, how are you going to handle when you get edged? How are you going to handle coming out of that? You know what I'm saying? How are you going to handle where? Because there's always going to be a situation where a DN comes at you and he makes you stop your feet and then he takes the edge on you. So it's a stutter step and then they take your edge. How do you react when you have to turn and run and you have to get in bail mode? Now, okay. You're going to see that. And then also, too, where they kind of give you that where everything looks like edge and then they come inside and now you got to honker down and let's see. I don't think that's going to be a problem with JP because JP is going to come in probably weighing about 320, 330, maybe a little bit more. So I'm thinking honkering down on the bull rush isn't going to be a problem. It's going to be how he reacts when they make him stop his feet and come out of it.
320, isn't that light?
Yeah, that's going to be real light for JP.
Yeah.
Like 320, but I'm thinking probably about 330.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.